Episode number 294.
And then, you know, I continually invested in myself and my education and getting in rooms that, like, you know, people were doing bigger and better. So I always, like, made it a point to be the dumbest guy in the room, because if you're the smartest guy, then it's never a good thing.
Welcome to the Be Real Show with Travis Too Tall and Hot, where we talk about life, dreams, social media, and business.
Well, hello, and welcome to the Be Real Show with Travis, Too Tall and Huff. You know your boy is fired up and bringing you the fuego. But after today's show, I think you're going to think about your mindset different, about investing, about the ways to invest, the things to invest, and from someone that does it the best, that's been doing it for a long time, and an OG, because he's actually from my neighborhood, guys. We went to the same high school, but he is moving and shaking actually across the United States of America in the beautiful sunny state of Florida. Mr. Matt Garabedian. Matt, are you ready to be real?
What up? What up? Of course, man. Thanks for having me. This is awesome.
Let's go. The Phenom Investor, guys. If you're following him, his major, you know, focus is obviously finding the deals, making you that money, helping his crew make money with him along the way and journey. And he's done that very successfully in real estate, man. I've been seeing the journey. You know, it's a tried and true business. It's a difficult business to completely understand, but once you get it, man. And so, you know, you really started with that, but then even this last year, we were talking about prior, you know, the sports card thing kind of came on, and how collectibles and the value of these rare assets are only going to probably appreciate, you know, as we're printing more money and going along the journey, man. But so tell us, take us back into the journey, man, of the phenom of investing.
Nice. Yeah, man. It is. I've been reflecting a lot about that lately too, because I'm actually in the process of writing a book. And I've definitely been thinking through a lot of my journey. Mm. But, you know, you mentioned, you know, Bullard High School, you know, class of 1997, man. So I'm aging myself a little bit here. You know, it seems like it was yesterday, though. You know, time's flown by. But yeah, man, you know, Fresno, born and raised. And, you know, I just thinking back, I mean, I just loved sports the whole time growing up. Like, my first memories are, you know, Candlestick Park and growing up and seeing the Niners and the Giants. Mm-hmm. And then just being interested in being an athlete, right? And so I started, you know, in Little League and Pop Warner, baseball and football, right? And
right.
You start playing in sports, and, you know, I was a decent player, and I was able to kind of, you know, Bullard obviously was very competitive in those years in baseball, you know, number one in the country in some years.
Absolutely.
National champion. So going up in the baseball community there, like, that was everything, right? So if you're on a Bullard team, like, you know, you learned that kind of, like, cockiness in a sense, you know, because Bullard guys were super cocky, right?
Because limited crew, baby. You only so many guys on the squad.
Exactly, right? And so you kind of learn that mindset of, you know, man, if you're a Bullard baseball player, you kind of walk a certain way, talk a certain way, and you just had that, you know, confidence, right? That you can go out in the field and perform. So just going through that program, you know, helped me learn a lot. And then eventually went to Long Beach State and played baseball at Long Beach State. And when I got there, we were like preseason number two in the country. So
wow.
I got to meet and play with a lot of guys that, you know, went on to play in the big leagues. And so going through that program, I learned a ton, just work ethic, accountability, being a great teammate, you know, just showing up and putting in the work, all these great life skills that are really hard to learn and teach if you don't experience them, right? So, I mean, I attribute a lot of my success to the time that I spent in athletics. Mm. The truth of the matter is, though, you know, if I was to do it over again, I probably would have gotten a business sooner. Not that I thought I was going to be, you know, a professional player by any means, but you spend so much time, you know, from, like, even as a kid, right? Like, all-star teams and, absolutely, you know, then as soon as baseball is over, you're going into the football and then vice versa. So I didn't really have a whole lot of time to think about, like, what do I want to be when I grow up? Right. Mm. Like, you know, you kind of go and at the time it was like, I just want to get a scholarship
just
and then
go into the next step.
Just, yeah. I just want to get to Division One.
Absolutely.
And then you get there and you're like, man, this is college. Like, I'm having fun. And so, you know, that, you know, flies by in an instant. right? And so after baseball was done, I kind of fell into like a real life slump, if you will. You know, moving back out from Long Beach to Fresno, I didn't really have any idea of what I was going to do, man, to be honest. And so coming home, I got depressed. And, you know, coming back and like moving into your old high school room after all these years of like being
doing
in baseball.
Doing a big, yeah,
and
right.
Having freedom. And now you move back into your parents' house. I'm like, yep. Dang, that's a bummer.
Right.
And, so really like what happened was like, I screwed around and I wasted a lot of my 20s, you know, just being unfocused, not really, you know, working towards anything, not having goals. And, you know, unfortunately I just kind of felt like I wasted a lot of my 20s in just nonsense, you know? And then, you know, finally I was like, well, this can't be a good thing. I got to actually figure out what I want to do when I grow up. And,
right.
You know, my grandfather was always a hustler. You know, he was always doing a lot of things, you know, he had his hand in many different things. And one of them was real estate. And so he said, you know, Matt, like, you know, you should get your real estate license because it's a license to make money.
Boom.
That's what he told me. So like that kind of stuck. Right. I was like, well, you know, that's cool. I wasn't even thinking about being a real estate investor or even a real estate agent or anything like that.
Right.
And, so I was like, well, okay, that, you know, that doesn't sound too bad, but I didn't really do anything with that advice for a while. And then I saw my buddy that was friends of mine in college. He was a teammate and he was like killing it, right, in the mortgage industry. And I didn't even know what a mortgage was, but he was making a ton of money. He was like driving around in a new Beamer. And I was like, if this guy is in a new Beamer, I mean, this guy would be the guy that like, hey man, can I borrow 20 bucks? Like right. He was one of those guys and like, you never see it again.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And I was like, this guy is making money. Like, why can't I? So he was nice enough to like kind of plug me into some information. He's like, go check this company out. Go check that out. So I ended up making a cold call to the manager of the Central Valley there in Fresno. And he's like, what do you know about the business? I'm like, to be honest, I know nothing. But here's my experience. Here's my background. I'm ready to work. And he's like, all right, well, let's meet up and I'll play a round of golf with you. And I'm like, all right. And I'm like, I don't know how to play golf. And he's like, that's cool. Let's have fun. And so we went out and played golf. I'm like hacking it all over the place. And we ended up hitting it off.
Right,
and he's like,
right.
You know why I invited you to play golf? I'm like, I have no idea, to be honest. He's like, you could tell a lot about a guy through 18 holes of golf.
Oh,
like
wow.
You could tell his character. You could tell if he's a cheater. You could tell if, you know, he's got, you know, a weird personality. If he can't hold a conversation, if it's
right.
awkward,
right.
You know, so I was like, that kind of makes sense, you know? So I guess apparently I wasn't too weird for him, and he ended up hiring me, and we went out and he showed me the business, and next thing you know, I'm making some money. And at the time it was a lot of money for me. Right. So, you know, I think I made my first like 100 grand that year, and I thought I was like top of the world, man. I thought I was rich.
Of course.
And
yeah.
So I was like, you know, going and buying stuff and bought a house and a car and not even thinking like, you know, this would ever end.
Right.
And then, you know, if you could remember back in 07, 08, that's when like the financial crisis, the crash happened.
Absolutely.
So I wake up one day and I was like out of like locked out of my email for the company. And I call my manager. I'm like, hey, you know, what's up? Is there a problem? He's like, dude, we're shut down. I'm like for the day. And he's like, no, like we're done.
Wow.
Like turn on CNN, dude. Like the sky's falling.
Wow.
So I'm like, okay, wow. Like that's how oblivious I was to like what was really going on in the world.
Right.
And so the next thing I know, I'm going from like, you know, making, you know, some cases, $7,000 to $10,000 a month to zero. And I had a little bit of money saved, and then that soon like ran out.
Dwindled.
And then I ended up like losing my house in foreclosure. My car got impounded. And at the same time, you know, I literally have no money to my name. And, you know, God brings my then, you know, fiance, which turned into my wife, into my life at the time.
Wow.
And I knew I was going to marry her. But at the same time, I'm like, how am I going to take care of her? Like, I can't even take care of myself.
Right.
So, you know, it was a struggle for the few years, you know, but she stuck with me and, you know, she saw the, you know, the potential in me. Right. And at the time I was like out of opportunity, out of prospects. And so I was like, well, maybe it is a good time to get my real estate license.
Mm-hmm.
And, I got my real estate license. I studied for it. And I just, you know, cause I had a bachelor's degree at the time. I could get my real estate broker's license without having like, you know, to be like an apprentice or a salesperson for 2 years.
Gotcha.
So I went straight to a broker.
Gotcha.
And then, you know, so I went out and I tried different avenues in real estate. I tried to be, you know, representing buyers in showing them houses. I didn't really like that. And so what I really liked though is like the numbers thing. I like talking to investors because I could talk to them about like bottom line. I'm like, you put, you know, a dollar into this and you can get a dollar 30 out. Right. So the, you know, the investment or the cash on cash return, that type of, you know, conversation made sense to me. And I like talking to guys that, you know, we're only interested in, well, what kind of return can I get versus, well, you know, we don't like the way this house is laid out or, you know, the countertops or whatever. So like, it was a different conversation.
Totally. Yeah.
So I started doing that, man. And I started like learning about how to sell apartments. And
gotcha.
So I met a guy one time. I was, you know, selling a 60 unit apartment complex, and he like rolls up, you know, like a, this like really, you know, sick black Range Rover, and he pops out. I'm like, who? I never seen like a guy roll up in a Range Rover, right? At the time in Fresno.
Right.
Like,
right.
Who? And this is like, if you know Fresno, so like this is in like Southeast Fresno, like Chestnut and Kings Canyon. So we're like kind of in the hood.
Right.
You know, it's not like a great area. So this guy rolls up in this like nice Range and he pops out. He kind of looks around. He's like asking me a few questions and he's like, cool, I'll take it. I'm like, really? Like, you know, like, okay.
That easy?
Yeah. So he paid like, I think at the time, you know, $220,000 cash for the property. And so I'm like, wow, this guy's a player. How do I, you know, learn from him? And so we're, you know, talking and he's like, yeah, I mean, I'd like to buy more of these, but I don't really have time to manage them because, you know, he's not a full-time real estate investor. He's a business owner.
Yeah.
And he makes money and invested in real estate. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll manage it for you. And literally had no idea how to run a management company.
Wow.
But he's like, you will? And I'm like, yeah, for sure. So then just kind of, you know, through sheer determination and hustle and work ethic, I managed his. And then soon enough, he's buying more and he introduced me to more people. And next thing I look up and I've built like a, you know, a management company organically. So like guys are buying and selling through me and I'm building this management company. And I figure out like, man, this is cool and all, but like, it's a lot of work. And all I'm doing is just, you know, solving problems every single day. You know, no one's calling me up and saying, hey, Matt, why don't you know you're doing a great job? They're like, hey, Matt, you suck. Where's our rent? Or why is the tenant not paying? Or how come this repair costs so much? So it was just a lot of frustration. And I still really wasn't making money. Mm-hmm. You know, I felt like I'd be working like 12-hour days and I'm not accomplishing anything, I felt like. And I'm like, man, I wake up, I work all day, work all night. And then, you know, I discover that I'm not making real moves, real advancements in my career. And, you know, shortly fast forward, you know, I'm like, how do I learn how to make money in real estate or actually buy a property in real estate without any money or credit or anything like that? So then I then invested into a program that taught me like no money down real estate, which is now called wholesaling.
Gotcha.
And wholesaling is a super popular thing now. Back when I started, which was approximately 2012, 2013, there wasn't a lot of information out there.
Right.
You know, I remember like having to explain people what I was doing. But really, essentially, if anybody that's listening that doesn't know what wholesaling is, like I'd find a property off market. I would get the property under contract. And then I would go out and find a cash buyer, right, to then buy that property from me. He would actually buy the property, but I would, you know, charge him money over what I had it under contract. So I was really just flipping paper. So, for example, just real simple terms, if I had it for 100 and I knew the property was worth, you know, say 200, I would go and tell him, look, I could sell you this property for 120,000. There's still 80,000 of equity in it.
Right.
You know, it's a good deal. And he'd be like, cool, I'll buy it. And then with the homeowner, I'd be like, I can only pay you 100. So I'd make $20,000 on that transaction without ever owning the property.
No risk.
I would never be able to do that as a broker.
Right.
So, you know, I actually took action, learned, and then went out and started doing it. And eventually like sold my management business, started building up my wholesale division, and then, you know, started doing that and then started building, you know, momentum. Learning more strategy, getting better with my marketing. and then started building a bigger buyer's list so that like I would take a property, either just call a guy, text them, email them, and it would just be sold. So I started just doing a bunch of transactions that way and built it up and, you know, started making millions, really.
That's not crazy. Isn't that crazy, guys? Just think about that. You can literally wholesale property. And maybe there's something else out there you guys can wholesale. You know, this idea is very, very smart. You just, you know, you have a buyer that, you know, has a property or an asset worth X amount of dollars. You come in the middle and you say, hey, I'm willing to offer you relatively, say, half of that. And then you find someone on the other side that's willing to make up the other side of it and basically going to make money too. So if he buys from you, he's going to make money too.
Yeah.
And for people like that, they don't have the time to probably vet these situations. And so for him, it's the 20 grand is, you know, water under the bridge. Matt makes money. Let's move on. You know,
yeah, he's paying 20 to get 80. So it's like,
absolutely.
Who wouldn't want to do that? Right. It sounds easy in the concept, but you know, the real work is finding that seller.
Finding the deal.
Take 100 on a $200,000 value. Right.
But
most of these people, the reason we're getting these properties is because they're, you know, the houses need a lot of work, or there's a financial situation, or there's a personal situation going on.
Right.
You know, a lot of different reasons: divorce, death. You know, absolutely, things that happen in real life that people need a fast sale. Right.
They can't
cash. Go through the traditional route of waiting for a buyer, and then you got to get a loan and an appraisal. So all these different things factor into people's decisions. But yeah, man, like that's what really, like, you know, launched me into, you know, more success, if you will, inside the real estate niche. And then, you know, I continually invested in myself and my education and getting in rooms that, like, you know, people were doing bigger and better. So I always like made it a point to be the dumbest guy in the room, because if you're the smartest guy, then it's never a good thing. Right.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So
you're not getting pushed for that next level, guys. You're not getting pushed for that next level.
Exactly, man. And so that's what's kind of like launched me into, you know, being able to take profits from my real estate business and get into different ventures. Right. So now I run companies. Yes. You know, I moved out to Florida, like you mentioned, in July. I mean, I lived in Fresno my whole life, really, except for college. But that, you know, everything happens for a reason, right? So I moved out here to Florida and to be around bigger thinkers, I think, and people that are, I mean, doing massively bigger things in their life.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, man, it's so far it's been, you know, awesome, and we feel blessed to be able to do that and be out here and just, you know, enjoying everything, you know.
You have an amazing story, bro. I'm looking forward to the book, man, because it's the reality of your story, bro, is that everyone can do this. The opportunity is in there, but you have to put in the work, guys, sometimes. And
for sure.
And like you were self-aware with the management business, because you could still be running that business right now, but not making the kind of dough that you know were able to do. And obviously the ability to kind of take it to a whole nother stratosphere, if you want to call it. And a lot of people right now are probably that way. You know, you're just running the rat race. You know, the wheels, you know, happy. You're happy to keeping the revenue going. But then, you know, where can you put money outside of my current, you know, job, if you want to call it that? And that's where a lot of people, you know, unfortunately get caught up and don't invest in themselves, don't invest in other things. And that leads us into the collectibles hobby, you know, because we kind of also connected around that. We did some business recently this week around some Mosaic T-Mall guys. And basically the hobbies exploded. You know, 2020 was like a light switch, you know, if you want to call it, back to the hobby. And I know you as a kid were a collector. And I was even recently opening up some old wax, like some 1990 Skybox.
Nice.
It's kind of fun to open up like some old school stuff to kind of feel like a kid, you know, because it is still a little cheaper compared to these crazy prices you have on things. And then once you have something sealed, guys, the urge is always there to rip it. Like, it's always there. Like, oh my God, like, oh, what's in there? Is this something huge, you know? And so it's so hard to just the urge, you know? So that's why the nice thing with the vintage, even I got some 1980s, like some old school baseball wax, you know, like just this old school stuff. And it's just fun to rip them because, you know what, there's no real loss. You know what I mean? You kind of still get that value. You still get that fun. And
it's all nostalgia, right?
It's nostalgic too. Yeah. It makes me feel like part of why we got into it in general. And not that it's only about the money, guys, but there's some serious dough into collectibles, guys. This is the new investment category. You got millennials, you got older generations like me and my dude Matt, which are in the 35 to 40 year old generation that have a little bit more money, that we're collectors and we are investing in some of this stuff, as well as there's an opportunity to make money, meaning you hold it for a certain period of time and then you move it, you know, you move it on to a happier home, and many different ways you can collect, guys. But Matt, tell us a little bit about your journey in that, because I know that this has been a crazy year with that.
Yeah. I mean, truth of the matter is, you know, I got my first baseball card in 1989, you know,
so
my dad at the time, like, I think his buddy got him into it, and it was probably booming at that time.
Mm.
So he saw it maybe as the same way that I do. It was like, wow, there's a big potential here.
Right.
But you know, at that time, I'm not really sure what ended it. My theory is at that time, baseball drove the market, right? Like, basketball was kind of a thing. Football was not really a thing.
Yeah.
And so everything was predicated on baseball. And then you had, you know, around that same time, which is, you know, not 89, but like several years later, I think it was 93 or 94, the baseball strike.
Yes.
And so, you know, I remember that because Matt Williams at the time at the, you know, going into the second half was like on pace to break, you know, the single season home run record.
Yeah.
Is that Maris, yeah. Right? And so, but they, you know, that was the first time in years that they didn't have a World Series. So I think that ended up making a lot of people upset,
yeah.
You know, the fans.
Right.
And, you know, when the players went on strike and they locked everybody out, like, fans were like, okay, you know, we're not going to support this.
Right.
And, you know, I don't think it really came back until the late 90s when, you know, Sosa and McGuire were chasing the home run record. That kind of what brought people back to the pastime. Like, you know, there was a period of time where people just didn't watch baseball. Like, they were 100%. Just upset. And players started making more money and they were like, dude, this guy's making millions of dollars and he doesn't want to show up to play a sport. Right. Owners are greedy. So, like, screw it. Like, we're not supporting it. And then, of course, the junk wax era, right, where they just overproduced. Right. So I think it was just like a combination of things that, like, really just made the industry fall.
Yeah. Now, guys, they have one card maker makes one sport. So back in the day, like, you'd have Upper Deck, Donruss, blah, 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 blah. Like, now Panini only has licenses for certain things. Upper Deck only has licenses for certain things. Mm-hmm. Tops only has licenses for certain things. Specifically, that's kind of how they've changed it too. And then, like you said, the fact that now these cards are a lot less printed.
Short print stuff, numbered stuff. So, like, 100%. That obviously – and then I think what obviously changed the game – well, two things changed the game in a major way. Number one, the internet.
Absolutely.
And then number two was the grading system, right, with PSA and BGS.
Yes.
So now you have, like, a real way to comp a card or get a true value. You know, back then – you know, if you wanted to sell a card, you're selling it to your buddies in the neighborhood or you're going to the local card shop.
Right.
And then every blue moon, there's a card show, right? So very hard to, like, actually liquidate your cards. It was more of like trading, you know?
Absolutely.
Like,
it was more, yeah. It was much more of a trading asset at those times, really.
Now you've got, you know, these guys like on IG that are doing live breaks. You've got eBay, you've got StockX, you've got all these different platforms that you can literally sell your card in 24 hours if you wanted.
100%, dude.
So it makes it a very lucrative, you know, investment opportunity because it's liquid, it's tangible, people get it, you know, you can get real values. So, and the internet, right, you sell to the world, right? So
it's crazy,
I think,
dude.
Those things are just really make it, you know, unstoppable. And
yes.
So to answer your question, man, like how I got in. So I saw a buddy online talking about, at the time, I had no idea what a National Treasures box was, but he's online, you know, doing a live, like, you know, he's got the National Treasures box and this is not it, but, like, you know, I've got this little optic box there, but he's like doing this presentation of like, so I got this box, I'm going to open it live. This box cost $5,000. I'm like, $5,000 for a box of cards? Like, what?
Wow.
And I'm watching it, and he pulls out. I can't remember what he pulled out. And so I DM'd him after. I'm like, dude, what's that all about? He's like, oh, man, you don't know what's going on? I'm like, no clue, right? Wow. I just had no idea.
Right.
And he's like, dude, there's a bounty on this card for Zion, you know, logo man, you know, 500 grand, no questions asked if you pull it. I'm like, 500 grand?
Right.
He's like, yeah, man. He showed me the article, you know, about how they put that out there. There's a bounty for Zion logo man, right? I'm like, dude, that's crazy.
Crazy.
And so we're talking a little bit more about it. He's telling me about, you know, this card's worth this, this card's worth that. And then I also forgot to mention, like, the fact that, you know, Kobe died, you know, and coronavirus, and all this stuff is like the, you know, just all these things that happened that just exploded everything, you know, just skyrocketed. So I'm like talking to him about it. I'm like, dude, this would be awesome. You know, I've got a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old, so it'd be cool for them to see, like, you know, what dad would be interested in as a kid.
Right.
And so I'm like, dude, hook me up. Like, how do I get some boxes?
Yes.
And he's like, I'll set you up. You know, I'll send you some stuff. Just trust me. I'm like, cool. So I ended up buying, like, you know, I think about $5,000 worth of stuff for him. And he sent me, like 3 boxes of retail Prism 1920.
Oh, shit. Nice.
Which you can't even touch now $5,000.
It's like,
and then a box of actually a retail box of 17 and 18. And I mean, I'm sorry, 18, 19. And a box of 19 football.
Wow.
So it was a cool mixture of some cards.
Right.
And I don't even know. At the time, I was like, you know, cool. I'm just going to open this. And, you know, I started opening them. I'm like, this is amazing, man. This, like, brings back so many memories. And, you know, I'm opening stuff and I'm just texting him, like, what do you think about this? What do you think? Like, what's this worth? And that? And he's like, okay, go to eBay or go to 130 point or whatever and see, like, what these are really trading for. I'm like, cool. So, like, I'm doing the research. I'm like, dang, these are crazy. Like, then I started learning, like, okay, what's a prism? What's a base? What's a silver? You know, what's a numbered card? What's a tiger? I mean, all this, like, crazy stuff that, like, I'm just drinking through a fire hose, right? Of information.
New, so much to learn from when we collected, when we started.
Oh yeah. It's like completely different. Right. And
crazy,
so
man.
Immediately I was hooked, right? I'm like, okay, this is awesome.
You know,
I could see the potential as a business. I could see that I literally lit up, like, having so much fun opening these packs.
Absolutely.
My kids are like, daddy, who's this? Who's that? I'm like, tell him, you know, this is Zion, you know, this is, you know, like, this is what we're going for. And, you know, then I'm teaching my kid how to top load them.
Nice.
He's just like hanging out with me. And I just think that's amazing to do that with your kids. Just
100%.
As fathers, right? We get it. And so that was cool, right? Like, that was the first time that I was like, man, I haven't been this excited about, you know, something like a hobby, you know, ever. You know, I play fantasy sports, which is a great time.
Right.
You know, I don't get into betting too much, but I know guys love sports betting.
Absolutely.
So those things are cool. And I just love, you know, playing sports. Right. So it's like, this is amazing.
It's the sweet spot, baby.
Right. And, you know, then he was like up in Tampa. So I was like, man, I need to get cards ASAP. Like, I don't really want to wait for him to ship them to me because I want them open more.
Right.
And so I get on Instagram. I'm, like, searching local card shops, right? And I couldn't find anything right away. But then I start, like, I hashtag baseball card shops or something. I don't remember. But then that led me to, like, these guys that have pages of them doing live breaks.
Breaking.
So I'm like, what's this about? And then I jump into a live and I'm, like, just observing, right? The guy's like, oh, we got this, and it's $100 a spot, and we're opening this box, and, you know, so guys are just like, like, you know.
There's money happening,
spot
right.
Spot 2, spot 3, spot 8.
Right.
I'm like, I'll take spot 4. Like, I don't even know what I'm buying, you know what I mean? But I just wanted to get involved.
Just to see what's happening, yeah, just
see what's happening. Yeah, so then I got into the lives, right, and I started, you know, getting some cards. Like, you know, I got, you know, mystery packs, right? So
yeah.
I got the first one was I got a Josh Allen rookie.
Oh, nice.
9.5, I think, graded 10 autos and auto.
Oh, nice.
And then I got a Mahomes rookie optic.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. I love the optic one. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, man, these are cool. Like, they're already graded,
right?
You know? And then I didn't understand, like, what raw meant, right? So I was like, okay, you know, what's raw versus graded? So that kind of brought me into, like, learning what PSA is all about. Then I found more guys, like, local that are breaking. So I started breaking with a guy in South Florida here. And, you know, he's got a good personality. We're talking sports. You know, he knows I'm a Niner fan. So we're just going back and forth through the live. And then I remember he's like, that at that time, the Phoenix product just came out for 1920 stuff. Football.
Love that.
Or 2020 football, rather. And so I'm like, well, I don't really want to buy a single spot. Like, can I just buy the box? And he's like, yeah, for sure. It's a personal. Yeah. I'm like, cool. So I paid him for the box and he's opening it live and we're going through it. And then next thing you know, he's like, oh my God, oh my God. And I'm like, what? Like, is your house on fire? Like,
right.
What happened? He's like, dude, this is unbelievable. And next thing you know, he pulls out a 1-of-1 Justin Herbert.
Wow. 1-of-1. 1-of-1.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
Yeah. Let me show you guys. Hold on.
Hell yeah, baby. I remember seeing that on your IG.
Yeah.
That got you back deep into the game right there. The 1-on-1s are so sick.
Yeah, oh, the 1-on-1 Justin Herbert.
With the patch. Oh, that's so
patch,
sick.
Yeah, dual patch, auto. Dude. On the back, 1-on-1. And unfortunately, it got graded a 9.
It's tough on those. I think they're really, really tough on autographs.
Well, the auto got a 10.
The auto got a 10. Nice.
But the card got a 9, and apparently – you got to get it under, like, you know, they use like a 50x microscope. And so
if you like
tilt it a little bit and see there's like a little bit of a scratch apparently that comes from the printing, right? So I just think the dude is having a bad day. And
it could have been.
Whatever. But like there's not another 10 out there, right?
1-on-1, dude.
It's a 1-on-1.
Yeah, 1-on-1. That's an eBay 1-on-1. That's a 1-on-1. And Herbert is the Fuego. So hold on to that one, man, because that one's only going up, baby. That one's only going up. So,
I've had a lot of luck with Herbert, man. I've gotten 3 autos from him. This is a – I got
mosaic.
A no huddle. I got a mosaic. That graded a 10. And then I got this. And I got another 1-on-1. I'll show you that one. This one's pretty cool. I pulled this out of Immaculate. It's the LASIK.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
That one is sick.
Yeah, so me and Herbert are homies.
You are homies. And that's I say hold on to him for a minute, dude. I mean,
you can flip
some things and, you know, make some money, obviously. But yeah, the ones you like, man, especially those 1-on-1s, especially because there's only one of them in the whole
world. For sure. So that was amazing to me. Like, man, I just bought this. At the time, I think I paid $375 for that box because it just released. And so I was like, dude, that's an amazing ROI, right? I mean, I think conservatively I could probably get 10 grand for that card.
It could be, yeah. It
you know?
It could be, yeah.
And especially if he wins Rookie of the Year, he's going to.
Yes.
You know, and then he ends up, you know, maybe he wins a Super Bowl. And I look back in a few years, and I'm like, that card's gone up tremendously in value.
Yes.
So then, you know, that kind of leads in, man, I've started ripping cards left and right. Like after that, I was like all in. I was going to the card shop every single day. I was in the lives every single day. And I mean, I spent a lot of money, right? And
let's go.
So then I'm like, man, like this is fun, but like I got to figure out how to, you know, I can't just keep spending the type of money I'm spending and
monetize. And you got to make some money from it.
You got to make money, right? Because that's how my mind works. Okay, this is fun. I'm having a great time, but like, how do I make money now?
Right.
And then, so that's been, you know, educating myself, connecting with more people. So now all of a sudden, you know, I did some live rips and I will every now and then. It's not really my thing because it's a lot of time, effort, energy.
Right. Yeah. It's like, it's a working business to be live ripping and stuff. And someone that's like yourself that makes good dough with his time, it ain't necessarily the easiest, you know, it's more for someone that has a local card shop. Let's just be real. It has wax that they want to rip and they want to inventory.
I think it's for the kid that's in college.
And that too. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that they could stay up till 4 o'clock in the morning and, you know, rip all night, sleep until, you know, 1 o'clock.
Absolutely.
You know?
They're hunting down the retail boxes at the Targets and the local places. You know, I watched this dude full of shopping cart full of Prism NFL. I was like, what the fuck? Target's got to change this, but because
I try to play that game too.
Yeah, it's like, dude, there's like dudes rolling through the targets with the whole prison boxes, but still, it's like you're not really gonna make that much for someone on the smaller end. If you're in college and you're making $40 box into 60 or 70,
no, it's cool. Yeah.
You know, but it's a working business for someone like yourself. You know, you start to realize, even myself too. I've same thing. It's like, can I be live ripping cards? It's almost funner to invest. Find the kind of cards like, you know, that you think would appreciate, rip some stuff that's fun, and then sell these cards on eBay, have a store where you're selling these things. And that's easier in my opinion, because you don't have to be live ripping till 4 a.m. orders while you're sleeping, Matt. You could be selling, you know, one of those cards for 10 grand. It could sell while you're sleeping, you know,
that's the beauty of eBay. I agree 1,000%. So I immediately opened an eBay store because I had so many cards. And I started seeing, like, wait a second, like, I could scale this up to probably sell 600 cards a month.
Right.
You know, really. And so then in my mind, like, I'm like, okay, what's the next step? Okay, I got to find someone. I got to find the who to do the how, is what they call it. So then I hired a guy to just manage my eBay store.
Boom.
So, you know, I build businesses. That's what I do. Like, I like to get in the weeds for a minute to figure it out. And then I'm like, okay, how do I get myself out of this? Because I'm not going to be uploading cards to eBay. That takes time, and it's so shipping and the customer service and back and forth. So I was like, okay, this is cool. Like, it brings, I'm recouping some of the monies that I invested, you know, while growing my eBay status. And, you know, so now I think I've got, you know, somewhere like almost, you know, 180 positive reviews.
That's what it is right on there,
eBay.
Baby.
You know, we've done, I think, about 400 transactions. I opened the store like in November.
Yeah, so it's very recent.
Very recent, yeah. And so then I, you know, my mind just is always working on, okay, what's the next level? What's the next level? And so then I'm like, coming from the wholesale background in real estate, I'm like, well, why can't I wholesale wax? And so then I started figuring out that, and then there's a learning curve with that. Like, what do you got to buy it at? Who can you buy it from? Because you can't just walk, like you said, you can't go to Walmart or Target and find wax sitting on the shelves. It's not there. And if you go to the retail spot, they've already have it at the retail price. There's really no margin,
right?
You know, to make money. Right. So then you got to start figuring out how to connect with people,
distributors. Yeah.
Try to get a Panini account. That's a process. Hooking up with other guys that are, you know, deeper in the game. Like, how do I buy this? And so then that's what I'm doing now. Really, I see myself, you know, buying individual cards that I like or that I think that have potential. And then, you know, stuff that I have, I'll go get it graded, sit on it, or sell some. And then just I've been like stacking up cases.
A case, baby. That's what it is right there. That's the most smartest investment could be a case. I mean, that would be probably for anyone because it's sealed. I, you know, I've heard it from, you know, guys like sports card investor, Jeff, who's an investor, you know, for, you know, and also a sports card investor too. And that's what they do, you know, from a big level to a, and then that's the more lucrative dollars come in there because you've seen the wax prices. I remember I was looking at what we paid for like some of our recent, like our retail or boxes. It was like in the $200 range for the Prism. And like, those are insane now. Like it was like $250. I was like thinking, why didn't I not buy? Like, I didn't know. I had no idea. I had no clue. My buddy Jordan told me about it. And he's like, dude, you got to get yourself a box. I was like, I couldn't believe I was paying $200, Matt. I was like, 200 something bucks is a lot of money. I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
You could have been, those boxes are $3,000 or $4,000 now, maybe $5,000. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
But $200 boxes you could have been buying. I just didn't, you just had no idea.
I mean, I was buying them the retail Prism basketball. I was buying them in early November for $800 a box. I was like, man, that's still pretty expensive. Like, and you know, I was turning some down at like $860, $880, $890. I was like, now, like you said, you know, they're $1,800 and going up like every day. So like, dude, imagine you bought a case of that or five cases of that. I mean, the ROI on that is stupid, right? Stupid. So, you know, so I kind of learned it. And I'm like going into like when football came out, I'm like, I got to buy three cases of hobby and just sit on it.
Yes.
So that's why I'm sitting on like three cases of hobby because I think, you know, it comes back to the class, right? Like 22, Herbert, Tua, Burrow, Jordan Love.
All the receivers too. The receivers, Justin Jefferson, running backs.
Oh, yeah.
Jordan Taylor. I mean, they got a pretty good class this last one. This was a good
for
one.
Sure, man. You know, I wish they give a little bit more love to the position players.
Quarterbacks
drive the market. Defense doesn't. Right. You know, which doesn't really make sense. I think as people get more involved in the hobby, those things will start to increase in value.
The crazy thing I've seen, though, too, is base defensive players will sell even more than offensive players because people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's little money. You're talking like $5 cards or something. But those defensive players sometimes will sell for much more of a premium than you would expect Alvin Kamara, who's scoring 50 points a game. Like, why the hell is this linebacker that, you know, because there's just less of them maybe. You know, there's less of those, defensive players. And people, I think, kind of love those defensive players, like, in the
nostalgia. For sure, I love defensive players,
So I'm with you, too. I mean, I think that's the one thing about the hobby that could evolve for NFL is if any of those position players, tight ends, wide receivers, running backs, if they could get any more love, I mean, that you could see prices really go. But now, my man, we're about to take you into our top 10 because I know we got to roll here pretty soon. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's go. Apple or Android?
Apple.
Apple. Netflix or YouTube?
YouTube.
Instagram or Facebook?
Instagram.
IG. You got to follow him, the Phenom Investor. I will put him in the show notes. Love it. Chicken or steak?
Steak.
Laptop or smartphone?
Smartphone.
Smartphone. Spotify or Pandora?
Pandora.
Movies or video games?
Video games.
Reading books or listening to books?
Reading books.
Stocks or real estate?
Real estate,
baby. Oceans or lakes?
Oceans.
Love it. And when you wake up in the morning, my man, you're looking at yourself, you're getting ready for the day. Why do you love being you?
Because I'm a 101, just like
bam!
You.
Bam! Woo! Love that answer, because I'm a 101.
Yep.
Shout out to my dude, Sam Bakhtiar. Rest in peace. One of the greatest dudes I've had him on my show, but he was just a great dude even after we had him on the show. He was a 1%er. He had his business and brand and very successful gentleman, maybe possibly over $100 million in assets, passed, unfortunately, in December. Sure. But he always said, 1%er, get part of that 1%er club, baby. You got to think like that.
I had the pleasure of meeting Sam through the Arete Syndicate. He actually was an amazing individual. First time I ever met him, you know, he took the time to sit down with me, talk to me about his life experience, always commenting through the, you know, social posts. So, yeah, we lost a great man and heck of a story, inspiration, man. So, like, if that guy can inspire you, man, I don't know if you have a pulse.
Right. That's why I always said the 1%er, baby. You got to think like that. Be that 101, baby. I love that because I'm a 101. I love that. Do you think you'll ever retire from the game, real estate, cars, and all that? You think you ever hang it up and say, I'm done?
No, never, man. It's not in me. I'm always thinking of getting the next version of myself. So, I can't – I was telling my wife, man, like, I can't shut it off. It's not something that I like have to force to be, right. You know, it's, I just wake up, you know, full of gratitude. You know, I'm a believer, you know, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
Pulled me from sin and made me a 101. So it's now my responsibility to go out and be the best version of myself. I'm always trying to get to the next version of myself. And it's just a constant, you never stop, right? It's not about the money. Right. It's not about things. It's about the challenge, you versus you, because we're the biggest competitor we'll ever have. So I don't see competition. I only see myself in the mirror. It's like, Matt, you know, got to get better today, that 1%, like Sam would say. So and that's why I come up with phenom, like phenomenal, like go out and be phenomenal. You know, in baseball, you have a phenom prospect. He's got 5-star tools. So like that's how I think about my life. And anybody that I come across is like, man, we're all phenomenal. God gave us these certain gifts and traits and abilities. You have something that I don't, and vice versa. So like, how do we take that and share and give and give, you know, people hand up and not a handout?
Absolutely, bro. That's the way to go, baby. That's the way to go. Do you have a routine to start your day? Do you have something you do to get ready for your day?
Yeah, man. I put my armor of God on every day, man. Like that's really what it is. I read the word. I do my prayers. I thank him for just getting another day, for having a breath, man. Absolutely. I say every day we're a 6 feet above ground is a great day. So, you know, just being thankful for everything that he's blessed me with, and starting with gratitude, man. And, you know, no matter what, like, I'm thankful for everything. And so if you can start with that, and you put on that armor of God, nothing can stop you, man. You're literally unstoppable.
So true, bro. So true. And also, when you start with, like, focus on yourself a little bit before you get running into the emails and these things, as we know, guys, and you get into business, you get into things real quick to just, oh, I got to go do this. But having some time for yourself, man. So shout out to you and that routine, because it's so important, man. Put that armor on and get ready, baby. Get ready for this day. Do you have a favorite app on your phone? Something you like using these days?
Favorite app? Well, probably right now it's got to be eBay.
I love eBay.
I'm checking comps every day.
Hell yeah.
You know, and I recently invested in that Market Movers account.
Okay, like, yeah. Market Movers. Yep. Great account.
So I like to look at that and
see how the collection's doing. And
what else? I mean, Instagram, obviously, because I'm always, you know, in on the IG trying to, you know, figure out.
Plant seeds. You're always planting seeds. You're always planting seeds through his stories, guys. He's always got new ideas and ways to think of things, and definitely got to follow him because, you know, it is mindset. You know, the world is full of so much abundance that to think of it any differently is crazy, you know? And so my last couple questions for you are, is if you could sit down tonight to a lovely steak dinner with anyone in the world, who would it be?
Wow. A lovely steak dinner with anyone.
They're flying to you, my dude.
Is that living or dead?
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We've had all different types of answers.
Wow. My grandfather.
Grandfather. Because he taught you that discipline.
Yeah, man. I miss him every day. He was an inspiration to me. And so he taught me a lot of the things that I didn't know that I would be using today. Just little things, man, that I still just really like subtle but profound. So I'd love to have one more dinner with him.
One more steak dinner with Pop. And I still always believe that he's seeing you, man. I mean, we've, you know, believe in energy, believe in souls and things like that. And I think that he's looking down at your success and so proud of that success because you didn't just take it for granted either, bro. You're constantly working. You're constantly growing. You're constantly wanting the next, not only for just the monetary thing, which is great, but also for your family to grow. And also the people that you invest with, you know, for them to grow too. It's not for just, sure. And so that is incredible, dude. And the fact that you took his action, you know, he said, hey, get the real estate, get the license. And that license provided you something that has taken you to where you are today, man, where you built a life full of a movie, of a truly incredible story like you're going to be writing here in your book. But dude, just like I always believe in every great story, this is always still just the beginning, baby. You know, the collectible business is only taking off. The real estate thing, the leverage and knowledge you have, it's only going to get more fuel to the fire, baby. And now you're in Florida with bigger minds, and that just means the game has been leveled up even more for you, dude. So I commend you, man, for constantly taking those challenges, accepting them, and then putting in that work, dude, because that's what makes a great man, dude. And I think that's what's going to leave in your legacy is that, you know, nothing can stop my dude, and he will constantly be working and growing and learning and also having fun too, man. I mean, the card thing, dude, is absolutely a blast.
It's 1,000% the funnest thing I've done in a long time.
Especially through these crazy times, bro, we got to have something, right? So I totally agree with you. I feel like a kid every day. I wake up, I'm like, I freaking love this, dude. This is cool, man. Well, we really appreciate you, brother. Matt, can you give our listeners where's the best place for people to find you and hang out with you online? Where's the best place for them to?
Yeah, for sure. I'm on IG at Phenom Investor. And then if you want to check out my card site, it's Phenom_cards.
Gotcha.
So, you know, send me a DM, and I'm typically quick to respond. So appreciate you having me on, Travis. It's been awesome.
Absolutely, bro. Absolutely. I appreciate you. He's got a great mindset. Like I said, follow his both pages. If you like the sports cards, go, we'll put that in the show notes too. But then the Phenom Investor, which is mindset and investing and all sorts of different things my dude is doing, and also lifestyle too. But hey, brother, I appreciate you, and we appreciate you, folks. You've been hanging out with Matt Garabedian, the Phenom Investor, and Travis Too Tall and Huff. We want to thank you again for your time today, and let's keep being real. What another epic episode. And if you enjoyed the episode today, can you please do me a favor and subscribe to our podcast, The B-Real Show, on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform? And also take a little time today, if you don't mind, and give your boy T-Huff a review. I would really super appreciate it. And thank you so much for listening today. We're all going through a lot right now. And Real-Time Outsource, my business, is giving back to local and small businesses. Through our social media services and campaigns, we are actually helping small businesses get more exposure during these times and also when we get through these times. At the end of the day, we don't know how long this is all going to last, but most importantly, you got to think about your business right now. Take it seriously. So come check us out at realtimeoutsource.com, realtimeoutsource.com, and we would love for you to qualify and get the process started where we can take a look at your business and see if we can qualify you for some of our services. Little to no cost for most of the businesses, and some businesses, you know, you're going to have to pay, but that's just part of life, right? But most importantly is that I think this is the time, folks, that you can actually help thrive in your business. And so I would love to help you personally with our team. We're all going through a tough time right now. So take advantage of us, realtimeoutsource.com. Check us out. And we would love to do some business with you and help you with your social and digital media in 2020 and beyond.